Two medics in white smocks were standing by his bed. The man gave him a professional smile. "Back among us now, eh?" He had a full beard, pepper and salt. "Who are you?" Tavalera's tongue felt thick, swollen. "What happened to me?" "You collapsed in your office this morning," said the doctor. The woman looked up at the panel of monitors on the wall. "Life signs approaching normal," she said, sounding almost disappointed about it. She was a hefty-looking blonde with thick arms and a hard cast to her face. The doctor made a chuckling laugh and pointed at Tavalera with a stubby finger. "You'll be fine. Just lay there and rest. We'll keep you under observation overnight. Try to relax and get a good night's sleep." They both started toward the door. "Wait," he called after them weakly. "What's happening to me? What's wrong with me?" They ignored his questions and walked out of the narrow room, leaving Tavalera alone on the bed. He tried to sit up, but his head started spinning and he plopped back on the pillows again. He saw that there was a cuff around his left biceps, with a vial of clear liquid attached to it, blinking silently. It felt warm against his skin. He tried to read the label on the dispenser, but it was medical jargon he didn't understand. "Try to relax and get a good night's sleep," he repeated silently. "Yeah, great." Tavalera waited several minutes, then slowly tried to sit up once again. He felt woozy, but he made it to a sitting position. A monitor alarm began chiming, its light flashing red. "Please remain in your bed," demanded a computer's synthesized voice. "Do not try to get out of your bed." "How far can I get?" Tavalera asked himself. Then he realized he was wearing a flimsy pale green hospital gown, tied loosely in the back. It hung on him, several sizes too big. "Where'd they put my clothes?" He pulled the bedsheet back off his hairy legs and half slid to the floor. Leaning heavily on the bed, he tried to straighten up. The floor tiles felt pleasantly warm to his bare feet. "Please remain in your bed," the computer repeated. "Do not try to get out of your bed." "Bullshit," Tavalera muttered. "Where's the clothes closet?" The beefy woman medic who'd been in the room moments earlier burst in again. "What do you think you're doing?" She was clearly angry, her heavy-set face florid, her eyes ablaze. "I'm okay," he said. "I want to go home." She wrapped her muscular arms around him and pushed him back against the bed. "You get in that bed and stay there. Doctor's orders. I don't want..." Sister Angelique stepped through the open doorway, her eyes widening at the sight of Tavalera struggling with the medic. "Tell them I'm okay," Tavalera pleaded to her. Angelique smiled coolly at him. "It would be better if you got back in bed, Mr. Tavalera. It's for your own good." He pulled free of the woman's grasp and leaned back on the edge of the bed, puffing from the exertion. The medic glared at him and Tavalera glared back. "He'll be all right," said Sister Angelique to the woman. "Could you kindly give us some privacy? I need to talk with him." Still glowering at Tavalera, the medic said gruffly, "He's supposed to stay in bed. Doctor's orders." "He will," Angelique said softly. To Tavalera, she added, "Won't you, Raoul? For me?" Feeling outmaneuvered, Tavalera hoisted himself back onto the bed and sat with his back barely touching the pillows. The bed rose with a soft, whirring sound and adjusted itself to his position. The medic made a single curt nod, then left the room and shut the door behind her. There was no chair in the narrow room, so Sister Angelique remained standing. "You gave us quite a fright this morning," she said. "Scared myself," Tavalera admitted. "What happened, Raoul? You don't mind me being so familiar, do you?"
"It's okay."
"So what happened? What made you collapse that way?"
"I'm not sure I know," he said.
Angelique studied him with her cool, dark eyes for a long moment. Then she said, "You transmitted your message to the chief administrator of the Goddard Habitat, which is all to the good."
"Holly Lane," Tavalera murmured.
Frowning slightly, Angelique continued, "The security cameras show that you sat in your chair for 3 hours, not moving, hardly breathing, as if you were catatonic almost. Then the return message came in from Goddard, and you collapsed."
"I saw Stoner," he blurted.
Angelique's eyes flashed wide. "Keith Stoner? The man who claims he's been to the stars?"
"I was on his spacecraft, somehow."
"You never left your office. The cameras show you were there the whole time." I was on his spacecraft. He's alive. He talked to me, told me he was puzzled that our history records don't match what he remembers from his earlier life. That's not possible, Raoul. I know it's not, he wailed. But it happened to me. I was there, and then I was back again. An hallucination, she said, almost in a whisper. But why? What's happened to you, Raoul? I don't know. It was all so real, but it couldn't have been. I must be going nutty. Sister Angelique made a little clucking sound with her tongue. I don't think so, she said, trying to sound reassuring. It's too much of a coincidence, you sending a message out to Saturn orbit, and then Stoner suddenly appearing to you. But you said I was alone in the office all the time. That's what the cameras show. Then I must have dreamed the whole thing. It must have been some kind of crazy dream. Sister Angelique looked down at him thoughtfully. We'll have to see about that, Raoul. We'll see. Chapter 15. When he woke up the next morning, Tavallera figured that they must have put a sedative in the meager dinner a nurse had brought him on a plastic tray. I went out like a light, he thought. No dreams, nothing. Now, sitting up on the self-adjusting bed, he listened to the monitors beeping softly. No way to tell what time it is, he realized. There were no windows in the narrow room, no clock. Must be morning, he reasoned. I got a good sleep, and now it's got to be morning. As if in answer to his surmise, a young nurse pushed the door open, followed by a flat-topped robot bearing a breakfast tray covered with plastic domes. Tavallera smelled sausages and coffee.
You must have friends in high places. Juice, eggs, soy sausages, and hot coffee, the nurse announced as she lifted the tray from the robot to Tavallera's lap. That's a lot better than the usual breakfast around here.
She wasn't exactly pretty, Tavallera thought. Her nose was hooked and her complexion blotchy. But she was a big improvement over the woman who'd tried to wrestle him back to bed the previous day. Thanks, he said. She gave him a smile and said,
You're scheduled for brain scans at 10:30.
It was a full morning. A pair of strapping male orderlies popped into his room the instant he finished his coffee and bustled him into a powered wheelchair. They're watching me, Tavallera guessed. They can see every breath I take. They controlled the power chair with a handheld remote unit and led him through a bewildering maze of corridors, one orderly striding along beside the power chair, the other with the remote behind Tavallera. He got the feeling they were guards, and they were with him to make certain he went where they wanted him to. Not that I'm going anywhere in this hospital gown, he told himself, picturing himself running out onto the streets with his butt hanging out and the two strong-arm orderlies chasing him. The brain scans were painless. They brought him to a room that looked like a laboratory and sat him in an oversized metal chair, then placed the crown of electrodes on his head. He thought of the stimulator his mother used.
Good thing you keep your hair short, said the technician running the lab. If it's too bushy, we'd have to shave it down.
As he adjusted the equipment that filled the lab, the technician kept chattering.
We had one guy in here with hair like Samson, all the way down to his waist. He screamed like we were crucifying him when we had to cut it off. And the women, they cry and weep. We get some really interesting scans from them when they're all wrought up like that.
Tavallera said nothing. The equipment hummed. The technician nattered on. He saw a display screen that showed what looked like a human brain, with colors flashing on and off in various parts of it. "Is that me?" he asked.
"No talking, please," said the technician. Then he added, "Yeah, it's you."
From the brain scan, the orderlies took him to a full-body scanner, and from there to a big open room filled with gym equipment. People were jogging on treadmills, working on weight machines, pedaling stationary bikes. Despite its clean carpeting and indirect lighting, the room smelled of perspiration. The orderlies clicked a monitor to his left biceps, then told Tavallera to run on one of the treadmills.
What's this for? He asked.
Cardiac stress test, they answered in unison. Like robots, Tavallera thought, almost amused at them. As he started jogging, he realized that the man next to him had a prosthetic leg. Looking farther down the row, he saw several more people with prostheses, including a grossly overweight woman whose flesh wobbled and jounced as she trotted sweatily on two artificial legs. Why don't they re-